Welcome to Local Talk Tuesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events in our Central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in. I am Mike Metz, your host for this hour, along with engineer Mike Murphy and neighbor Pat Schlerbaum, Milford Township's resident naturalist. Anna Magnuson, alias Anna Banana, joins our bunch later in the hour to share her heart-to-heart and tune-in Tuesday messages. Right now, we welcome Dr. John Passion, chair of the Story County Board of Health. Hello, Dr. Passion.
Hi, good morning.
We have been released of the mandate for the masks in the city of Ames, and I believe the county at this point. What can you tell us about the updates with the COVID virus?
Well, right now it looks like the COVID virus continues to shrink throughout the county as well as the state and the United States too. It kind of looks like it's on the run. It is not gone. It's not over yet, but I think we've got the upper hand. The vaccine has changed things remarkably.
We haven't, as far as numbers, I would assume it's dropping. Have we seen any recent deaths in our county that you're aware of?
No, not that I'm aware of. Our percentage rate is down to about 2%.
Okay.
What is remarkable about those numbers is that the greatest majority, over 90%, are in the 18 to 29-year-old age category. And that is, we've always had a high percentage in this county in that age group, mostly because of Iowa State. But really, it seems like it's the only people we're seeing this COVID vaccine.
And so is that age group, is that a concern? Because it seemed like early in the pandemic, that group wasn't necessarily the group we were concerned with.
No, you know, they do tend to handle it better, but not always. And always a concern is that as one person gets it, it can spread it to another person. And that means it's still around.
Yeah.
There's a concept called herd immunity. That is where if a disease is surrounded by people who are all vaccinated, it doesn't get out of that circle. But if there's a couple of people in that circle who aren't vaccinated, the disease can get to them. And even if they don't have symptoms, it can then get out of the circle. That's why it's so critical that everyone who can be vaccinated be vaccinated.
And the thing about that is, if you are not vaccinated, you essentially are a little laboratory, if you do become infected, for a variant to perhaps occur. From what I remember when I was working as a virologist at the vet school here at Ames. But you're kind of setting yourself up if you don't become vaccinated, and you run the risk of infecting others, that's for sure. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is actually correct. The very interesting thing is that these vaccines appear to be effective against the variants so far. So I'm very encouraged by that. Also, the thing that this vaccine has done, which we were hoping it would, but everyone was crossing our fingers when it first came out, it actually stops you from spreading it to someone else, as well as stops you from getting it. It's a very effective vaccine for stopping this. And let me tell you, you want to get back to normal, get vaccinated.
I know that in some situations, for example, I go to the memory care unit over here in Ames. We're still wearing our mask, at least when we're around the group. Even though everybody in that group has been vaccinated, we're just not sure of the status of folks coming in and out as visitors. So I would assume if you're in a situation where you're not sure, it's probably better to wear your mask.
You know, that's exactly right. If places could require someone to show a vaccine card, I would be all in favor of, if everyone in the room is vaccinated, no one goes in with a mask. I have a poker group and we are now all vaccinated and we're now meeting in person for the first time in a year and we're not wearing masks. I still wear masks when I'm out in public, even though I know I won't get it, even though I know I will not pass it on to somebody else. It's more of And I was thinking about this the other day about why I'm doing this. It's more of solidarity for the workers. Many of them are wearing masks. And they're wearing masks because they're so afraid of this disease of COVID-19 and of the people walking in who might not be vaccinated. And so with me, I think it's solidarity to the workers.
Yeah, I wear mine as a, well, in a similar vein, but kind of as a statement to just, I'm making folks know that I'm aware of the situation, and you just don't know when you walk into a public area who is and who isn't vaccinated. And I think I was telling Molly last month when she was talking to us that, gosh, when the October month comes around, I will probably wear my mask much more frequently because I didn't have the common cold problems. I didn't get the influenza problems this year either, even though I'd gotten vaccinated for influenza. There's some positives to this, even if we didn't have the COVID to worry about.
Yeah, we've seen this winter, we saw so few ill children. It was amazing. I'm a pediatrician by profession, and we saw so few viral associated illnesses in kids. It was amazing. I don't think any one of us saw a single case of influenza in a child, and we looked.
Yeah.
And that was just amazing.
They weren't such the incubator you thought they could be.
Actually, it's like they were away from everybody else. They were wearing masks when they could. It's like, really.
Yeah. And that's one thing you mentioned, the children. I know I've seen a couple of little kids that are still, they don't see you wearing a mask, they kind of point at you to their parents and they ask about a mask. So some of them they've gotten the message.
You know, the kids actually have tolerated the mask use phenomenally well. If their parents are supportive, the kids have done very well. We have had some concerns that have been expressed to us, to the Board of Health, about children having difficulty breathing, respiratory issues, if they wear a mask, that's not being healthy for them. That's just not true. They're tolerating it very well. We've had no respiratory issues that we have seen from children wearing masks. They seem to tolerate it better than the adults.
Now, as the high school graduations have, I know there were a couple in our neighborhood this weekend, the parties and the groups were getting together. But as students, especially our Iowa State students, disperse from the area, do you think there might be a slight bump? This is pure speculation, but a slight bump in seeing the COVID, or are we okay, do you think, for this, at least the summer months?
I don't know. We're going to have to see. You know, anyone who will tell you that they can predict this disease is like lying to you. So we're just going to have to see how it goes. We're going to watch numbers real closely. What we're going to have to watch is what's going to happen in the fall. My hope that all these college students who are home now, who are out of town, the ones who have not gotten the vaccine before they left, are getting the vaccine before they come back to Iowa State University. Unfortunately, the governor has told us Iowa State cannot require vaccinations. And that's just a change. And maybe that will change.
Well, hopefully science will become a little bit more on the forefront, the good science, and folks will realize there to stand the reason that what scientists are telling us about this pandemic and about viruses in general will be accepted a little bit better. I know in some cases folks are just hesitating because of what they perceive as the speed of the development of these vaccines, and they don't realize that this is based on years and years of research with other diseases, including the early SARS and HIV and some of those other earlier problems.
That's absolutely right. And people have to remember that while it seems like it was, expedited, the development of these vaccines, what was not skirted over was safety issues. Usually when a vaccine is being developed, they do some trials. Then they put out some feelers to see if patients would be accepting of it. Then they see if it is making money. Then they go through the second trials. They wait a few months, then do a few more trials. But this one, once they were done with one stage, they went on to the second stage. There was no discussion. There was a lot of deliberation to make sure it worked and it was safe. But then they moved on. But they did not. So there was no hesitation or there was no pause between steps. But there were no lack of safety issues. And these vaccines are still being monitored very, very closely, as all vaccines are. So if there's a side effect, it's going to come up, and we're going to find it.
That's something to just keep aware of. I think it's partly just a situation of ignorance. If folks would listen to the go to reputable science sources, they would. And then I'm sure some are going to watch and see what their friends do and what their reaction is. But once they see that this is so beneficial, I guess we can't. We don't know what people are thinking, but you would hope that they would lean towards a better public health situation.
You know, there's something also to understand. As a pediatrician, we deal a lot with vaccines. And there has never been a vaccine that's been developed that has had long-term down-the-road side effects, such as we've never given a vaccine, and then 10 years down the road, we realized, oh, gee, gosh, this puts you at risk for ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease or anything like that, or immune deficiencies or anything. It just doesn't happen. There are acute side effects, of course, with any vaccine that we're watching for. But as long-term, no, we just have never seen it. I do not expect it to happen with this vaccine either.
Perhaps my point of view is a little different. And it's probably my age group in that, you know, we grew up, I was remembering I had neighbors who had polio. And we just, as soon as that vaccination program came out and we lined up in our classroom for that sugar cube, everybody, it's like there's a change in attitude about vaccines and science somewhat. I'm not sure what it is. I'm sure it's speculation on pretty much anybody's part, but it's just interesting to see how we accepted that. And as a result, polio is, it's not, there are folks that have suffered and still show signs that they did become infected, but gosh, you don't read about that anymore.
And actually, polio is on the verge of being globally eradicated.
Right.
This will be a disease that once we eradicate it, it's gone.
Yeah.
No non-human carriers of polio.
Well, if we can just change gears for just the last minute or two here. Recently in the news, we heard of an infection of West Nile virus. So I know the season is beginning because mosquitoes come out this time of year. They're the vector, the carrier, or the transmitter, I should say. But I haven't seen a lot of mosquitoes yet. Because of the lack of moisture for this area, can you speculate on West Nile a little bit or just give us a hint as to what to expect and what we should do to prevent it?
The biggest thing is expect warm weather. We've had a very cool spring. And so actually on Saturday morning, we had some frost on our plate. Yeah, so it was still kind of cold. That'll keep the mosquitoes down, but that's not going to last forever. DEET is still the single best insect repellent. Even on children, it can be used, but just very, very sparingly. There are other things that are out there. Might they work? Maybe on some people they do, but the thing that works consistently is a little bit of DEET.
Essentially, we want to be aware of this and use the preventive products until well after that last hard frost or the first hard frost in the fall. And we always get, it seems like, that warm-up that still activates a few little critters that might harbor that virus. So I would say wait until the first snowfall, if nothing else, before you maybe retire your repellents for the year.
We always have a surge of mosquitoes after first frost.
Okay, Dr. Passion, is there anything else that you want to add before we close for the morning?
I'd like just to remind people that the vaccine is available. It is safe. It is free. A lot of places are giving it. Get your vaccine. If you don't do it for yourself, do it for somebody else.
We all have what we think are individual rights, but we also have responsibilities, and we're responsible to our community and our friends' health.
Well, I just want to say thank you very much for having me, and let's hope everyone gets vaccinated.
Thank you. And that's Dr. John Passion with the Story County Board of Health. He is the chair of the county board. And thank you again for joining us, and we'll touch base with you folks again next month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. B.J. Thomas, I'm Hooked on a Feeling. B.J. left us. He died of stage 4 lung cancer on the 29th of May of this year. And I would say a Grammy Award winner, multimillionaire, a great singer, somewhat underappreciated, I think, in some circles. So right now, we have a special guest. Sia Agnihotri. You're quite the young woman who has set a positive example of selfless acts of kindness to reach out to our community, asking us to help those who are less fortunate and those who have been suffering from the COVID pandemic relief in India. Hello, how are you this morning?
I am doing great.
Very good. Could you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
My name is Sia Agnihotri. I am a sixth grader in the Ames Middle School. I love to dance. I love music. And I also love baking.
Very good. So can you tell us a little bit about the project, the fundraiser that you were involved in? Gosh, you're becoming quite the celebrity here in the community.
Yeah. So it's the No Bake Cheesecake fundraiser I'm doing for everybody in India, because COVID there, like the COVID cases there are really high and it's really bad over there. So I was quite worried. So I wanted to do something.
And you have a special name for your project. It's Jars of Hope. That's very appropriate. What a delightful name. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what can you tell us as far as what prompted you to take this action? I know you have a concern, but what was it about your concern that you decided to do something?
Well, because, I mean, I've visited India many times, and I have many good friends there, and I have a lot of family there.
Okay.
I don't want anything bad to happen.
Sure, and that's... many of us think that way. I mean, we talk about the Ames community, but really, if you listen to our programming through the week, you'll find out that we look at the international community as important, too. So we're sure glad that we have folks right here in the Ames community that are concerned just beyond our immediate borders. That's something that's really great. How can you do a no-bake cheesecake? Describe for me how you go about doing this, or is it secret?
I just have one secret ingredient in it, but it's quite simple. So for the base, it's a butter, graham crackers, cinnamon, and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And you put that in the jar, then you put that in the fridge to chill so that the butter solidifies. And then while that's chilling, you make the cream cheese filling. It's just cream cheese, orange zest, which is our secret ingredient.
Oh, but now it's not a secret anymore.
vanilla extract, sugar, and Cool Whip. Then we chill that a little while as well. Then we put that into the jars, and then we put our fillings in. So we have the flavors cherry, raspberry, strawberry, and blueberry.
Oh, blueberry. Okay. So this has turned into kind of a family project. It sounds like it's kind of a role reversal here. Sounds like the supervisor of this, and you've got your folks involved, your parents involved. Is that right?
Yes.
What are their roles?
My mom's role is just looking at most of the orders and telling me them. And then my dad helps me deliver all of them.
Okay. That would be good, because you're probably not quite old enough even for your learner's permit yet. But I can see, gosh, who knows, in a year or two, might have another little food truck out there. That would be great. Can you tell us, how did you go about contacting folks? How did you originally start your contacts?
Yeah. So the very first time I started was in my dad's colleague's retirement party.
Okay.
So it was the very beginning where I wanted to just start selling these. I just wanted people to know. So we made 20 jars that day, and we took it to their house. And then I also told everybody after a little while that I'm doing this fundraiser for COVID relief in India. And like all of a sudden, they all were just sold out. And then I got really like pumped up from that. And then we give flyers as well to everyone. So then everybody gets flyers, and they spread the word to most of the people they know. Then after that, my mom also posted on Facebook and Nextdoor. Then more and more people were just looking at it, and then we were getting most of the orders from Nextdoor.
So are you surprised by the popularity of this project that you've started?
I never thought that this many people would order them.
Well, I think it's because it's an extremely good cause that folks are really concerned. This is a great idea. Do you think you'll continue to do this for a while, or what's your plan?
Yeah, so currently I've sold 400 jars, and I was thinking when I reached 500 jars, I'd like to stop for now.
Okay.
And then do it, start doing it again from like summer.
Maybe towards the end of summer, start it up again. Is that what you're? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other ideas as far as fundraising, or are you going to just stick with this one for a while?
I mean, I haven't thought of anything yet other than this.
Okay.
So I guess not just the fundraising.
Well, that's great. What are your plans for the summer if you're not going to be doing this? I'll bet you're just going to be always thinking and writing down ideas, maybe. You don't strike me as somebody who's just going to stop at this project.
Yeah, I might be thinking of other ways. Or if not that, if COVID does get a bit better in India, we might go to India as well to meet my grandparents.
Oh, that would be great. And wouldn't that be neat if you could take some of your fundraising and directly hand it to them? I'm sure you'd be really happy to do something like that.
Yeah, I would.
Okay. So how do you feel about all of the celebrity that you've received? I mean, you're becoming well-known around the community as far as, if nothing else, it's that young woman who's selling those cheesecakes in a jar. We've got to get one.
I'm feeling really happy and really proud at the same time. That this is going so well, and this many jars have been sold, and we raised $5,755.
Wow! Yeah, I could. You know, I know that you've gone to some business places, and those folks have matched what you have raised. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So. I think we're going to be seeing big things in the future from you. Now, don't let that be a pressure. I mean, you're just, you got to enjoy your kidness, right, for a little bit. But, gosh, what a great thing for somebody like you to be able to do this. Is there anything that you would like to add before we close for the morning?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that spread kindness everywhere around you. Because I truly believe that no act of kindness, big or small, is ever wasted.
That's great. Do you have that printed on your jars?
Yes, I do as well. It's on my flyer.
Excellent. That's a great motto, a great thing to live by. That's definitely, we could all use a little bit, take time to spread a little more kindness. Be kind is my one friend who is a co-host on my project likes to say. That's he just ends his talks often with be kind to others. So thank you for joining us, and I think we just may have to check up with you next fall and see how things are going and if you've come up with any other little projects, because I can just see it.
Pat. Yes, Tia, thank you so much. This is Pat Schlarbaum. I think it's the Dalai Lama that said, my religion is kindness. And kindness is something that's very important, and I think if... when we're in those moments of not knowing what to do, just be kind.
Yeah. Tia, thank you very much for joining us. And we'll check in with you. We can guarantee that. If not, right here, I know that young lady who was bouncing around during the music interlude, she might be interested in talking to you sometime, Anna Magnuson. So thank you, Tia.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
All right. Good luck. If you've just been bye-bye. If you've just been tuning in, I'm Mike Metz, your host for the hour, along with Pat Schlarbaum and engineer Mike Murphy. And Anna Magnuson will be joining us a little bit later. At this time, we'd like to welcome Susan Guiazda with the City of Ames. Hello, Susan.
Hi. Boy, what a great weekend it's been, and what a terrific guest you just had.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you could tell her she's excited and I think proud, and she should be because of the efforts that she's made. Just some little project to raise funds for a need, and it's just expanded for her.
Isn't that just amazing? I just love those stories. I had seen she is everywhere, and I'm so happy that her project is having so much success.
Yeah, you know, it's rubbed off on a couple of other folks, too, I think. Gosh, we may sometimes we are able to have a little breakfast after this. And before she closes shop, we may just have to get a few jars for breakfast here. So, Susan, is there anything that you'd like to talk about before we visit your guest today, Mark Lambert?
Sure. We have City Attorney Mark Lambert with us today just to go over a little bit about some of the recent changes, both at the city and state level. I just have a couple of announcements, one being that tonight is the first Tuesday of the month, and the first Tuesday of the month through August are our Eco Chats, which are environmentally friendly chats about topics of interest, and tonight's water. Tonight we're going to talk about water. It is still via Zoom, so you can get information on how to participate in the Eco Chat on the AmesPublicLibrary.org website. And you can participate in that Zoom meeting tonight at 7. We did open the Aquatic Center this weekend. It was a bit of a cool weekend swimming, but we're still working on some repairs. And, you know, I just want to remind people that, honestly, the best way to keep posted on what is happening at the Aquatic Center is to go to Facebook. They have many, many people that are populating that Furman Aquatic Center Facebook page. And they can get that updated on almost an hour-to-hour basis. So if you have questions, you don't even have to be a Facebook user. You just have to go to Facebook/Furman Aquatic Center, and you can see the latest on what's happening there.
That sounds great. Sounds like they're going to be making a splash later on in the summer.
Well, it's going to be warmer this week. I don't know if you've checked out the temperatures, but we're looking at some 90s this week.
Yeah.
So we'll be enjoying that water.
Definitely. So, okay, Mark Lambert, how are you this fine day?
I am good. Thank you.
Great.
Good morning.
What can you tell us about the updates as far as mandates when it comes to mask wearing for the city and perhaps the county?
Sure. Just a little background. Most people know that last September 2020, the Ames City Council passed a mask mandate. Originally, that was supposed to expire at the end of the year, and they put an expiration date into the ordinance, which not all ordinances have expiration dates, but usually they don't. But they put an expiration date in, realizing it was not going to be a forever kind of ordinance. So it was supposed to expire at the end of the year. The council then decided to extend it until June 30th. So then, a few weeks ago, we're all surprised with the CDC's new guidance. And then there was a lot of interest amongst the public in seeing that face covering mandate go away. A lot of people contacted the city council members and the mayor. And so the council members decided to repeal the ordinance. And that was happening all over Iowa with the local ordinances. They were pretty much all being repealed about the same time. Because it was an ordinance, there's a process that has to be gone through in order to repeal an ordinance under state law. You know, some places like the city of Des Moines had put together had issued a face covering mandate through a mayor's emergency proclamation. So those can be undone instantly. That doesn't work that way for an ordinance. You have to go through a process. Typically, that's three readings of the ordinance, and you have to pass an ordinance to repeal an ordinance. Three readings of the repeal ordinance at three separate council meetings, but the council wanted to do it faster than that, so they held a special meeting in order to just consider the matter and then set it on the agenda for their regular council meeting last week. And then last week, they utilized a provision in state law that allows them to actually pass an ordinance in one night at one council meeting rather than three. There is a way to do that. So they utilized that provision. They then, repealed the face covering mandate for Ames. At the same time, I should say that city council did this on Tuesday night, and Tuesday during the day, the county board of supervisors, Story County Board of Supervisors, repealed their mask mandate requirement. And so, so that went away as well. There was one issued by the county, one issued by the city. They both went away, and on the same day. So, you know, at this point, we don't have a mass face covering requirement in the city of Ames or in Story County. Also along the way, there are just a few days before the council meeting, the legislature on their last day of the legislative session passed a new state law, and the governor signed it into law, you know, later that same night. And that affected school districts saying that they could not mandate face coverings, and then also put some limits on what cities and counties can do in terms of passing face covering ordinances. I like to point out that I think the media reports have been a little broad, a little bit incorrect on what the effect of that was, but they did place some small limits on cities and counties in terms of passing face covering ordinances. So that's really kind of what's gone on. It's been sort of a whirlwind in public policy in the last couple of weeks on this issue.
Now, if we have a stage three or something like that for the COVID here in the state, is there some way to amend that law so that if the county or the city so chooses, you know, a government entity so chooses, is there a way to amend that?
Yes, there is. So, you know, the council could always pass an ordinance to put the face covering mandate back into effect. You know, this new state law does not really limit the council's ability to do that. All the new state law says is that they, the city council or county board of supervisors, cannot place a requirement on businesses that they would have to require masks. So the city itself could require masks. We just couldn't say, hey, all you businesses out there, you have to require masks. And we never did that in the first place. So we could pass really the same ordinance that we had before if there's a need for it. You know, the city council could certainly pass that again. The new state law did not take away all of our tools for dealing with the pandemic. You know, we're all hoping that third wave won't happen, that, you know, that that more and more people are getting vaccinated, and that will really reduce, and, you know, it's obviously had an effect so far, but really reduce the number of people and amount that have COVID and that are spreading COVID.
As far as those businesses that you referred to a little earlier, they do have the option, however, on their own to do that kind of thing, to have their own business mandate. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. There was nothing in that state law or in any city or county law that said that private businesses or private, you know, music venues or whatever or can't require masks if they choose to. So, you know, a grocery store, a retail shop can still require its customers to wear a mask or face covering when they come into the place, if that's the business policy. And so there's nothing illegal about that. They can certainly do that if they want to. There are probably some businesses still doing that. And, you know, and people aren't happy about it, then they should, you know, politely complain to the management and of those facilities. But, you know, some places may still be requiring it, and they're absolutely legally allowed to do that.
That's good, because, again, we know that there are certain rights that we all have. And, of course, there's that responsibility that I like to bring up continually when you do, you know, you have a responsibility as a citizen to protect others. And if there's a concern, it's better to, I say, be a somewhat conservative, especially when it comes to your health. What about facilities like health facilities or retirement, you know, nursing homes? How do we look at that in the current light of what's being talked about? Do you have something for us on that?
Yeah, and, you know, the CDC guidelines specifically said that, you know, healthcare settings can and should continue to mandate people wearing face coverings. I know I visited my elderly mother in the nursing home recently, had to wear a face covering and goggles and a plastic gown. And, you know, so they're still requiring it. You know, I've got a doctor's appointment coming up this week. The recorded message reminder I got reminded me to wear a face covering. I'm sure it's still required. So, you know, you're going to see hospitals, doctors, clinics, nursing homes continue to require the masks because they're you know, unique settings, and they're trying to, you know, keep people safe and keep the providers safe as well as the other patients.
Yeah. Well, especially in that kind of a situation, you just don't know walking into those areas exactly what the status is of the other individuals for one reason or another. I mean, you've got folks that are immunocompromised and they can't take some of the vaccines. So it's better to, again, err on the side to protect you and protect others, especially in light of not knowing what their situation is. Since not required to carry a card that says, hey, I'm vaccinated, although I would think the next time I'm taking a flight out of country, it's going to be tucked in next to my yellow card on my passport, because I'm sure that'll be required in other areas.
Right, right. That's probably a smart idea if you're traveling.
Is there anything else, Mark, that you would like to add before we close for the morning? And then I have one thing, too.
You know, all I would do is summarize again, the face covering ordinance in Ames and the one in Story County are now gone. Those requirements are no longer in place. The governor did sign a new law into effect. It put some very, very slight limits on what cities and counties can do. We could still pass that face covering ordinance again if the pandemic spirals out of control again. There's nothing in the state law or local law that stops private businesses or healthcare settings or nursing homes from requiring face covering still. So, and I think that's a biggie because there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. I've heard reports of, you know, people, you know, going into a healthcare setting and saying, well, you know, the governor signed this law says I don't have to wear a mask anymore. So, but, you know, people hear snippets of it on the radio news or TV news, and I think they kind of draw their own conclusion as to what that state law said. But no, the state law still allows businesses, private businesses, or healthcare facilities to require masks if those businesses choose to.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification on that, Mark. And I've got one question for you. Did you buy cheesecake from Sia?
Not yet.
Well,
you know, I've heard about it.
You know,
and, there's
a way to make it a little more crunchy.
Yes.
This is part of our breakfast this morning is this little box with grape nuts on it. And I know that you would probably add grape nuts to add a little crunch.
I probably would do so. I add grape nuts regularly to yogurt, so I would add it to cheesecake as well.
You don't happen to have your poem handy, do you?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
So. Okay. Well, I'm afraid you're stuck with that label from this point on, the grape nuts guy.
Yeah, I think so.
Mark, thanks for joining us this morning. Susan,
sure thing.
Susan, do you have anything to add before we close out?
I do not. Just have a great week. And I just want Mark to know I did not mention grape nuts at all.
That is correct. And I'll vouch for it. Thanks, Susan. Thanks, Mark, for joining us.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Live
6 foot 7 eight-foot bunch.
Daylight come and me one go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Day, he said day, oh.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Day, he said day, he said day. A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and we want go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and be one go home.
He's a day.
Well, I believe I know how Anna keeps her svelte, girlish figure. She was just dancing around to that as Harry slipped off into the sunrise with his bunches of bananas. Anna Magnuson, Anna Banana, how are you?
Well, I'm feeling quite good. We have some very multi-talented people in our community. I love that we have a grape nut spokesperson, Poet Laureate. That's awesome. And then, you're right, I sent an email to Sia because my, well, which I will preview and tune in Tuesday, but I love her signature line. She sent me an email saying she'd be part of my show tonight, and it ends with, throw kindness around like confetti. That's how she signs off her email. So, fantastic. Well, it is Tune In Tuesday, as I do try and tempt you to listen to KHOI, and so let me start by asking, so how do the police get rid of the bugs, like mosquitoes?
Gosh, I don't know what the buzz is, Anna, but how did they get rid of them?
They call the SWAT team.
Oh, I should have seen that fly SWAT coming in.
Well, on a more serious note, the Donna Lana Kitchen Show will discuss the harmful ways in which we get rid of bugs by welcoming our guest Rob Foe from the Pesticide Action Network to talk about pesticides today. So you will be asked the question, what in the world are we doing to ourselves? As Chef Donna and Farmer Lana will look at the local and national health issues in our food production system. Now, you might be asking, what is this Donna Lana Kitchen Show? Donna Lana Kitchen Show talks about food, farming, recipes, advice, and opinions. Chef Donna and Farmer Lana explore the local food scene with lively discussion and good humor on Tuesdays at noon and repeated at 7 p.m. So, Mike Metz, let's keep with the bug theme. I think that you've been a little icy today. So let me ask you, what does a spider do on the computer?
What does a spider do on the computer? Something to do with the website, no doubt.
Yes, smart one. Searches the web. You guessed it. So what will we find if we search the World Wide Web to find out what you and Sam Worbley will be discussing on Science Bites today?
Well, you hinted to the cold subject that we're going to at least start out with, and that's we're talking about the latest research findings on how the measurements occur for ice on our home planet, the pale blue dot. And we'll also talk a little bit, I think we get a little philosophical at the end, but it's a pragmatic kind of philosophy that we're talking about when it comes to climate change. So tune in at 4:30 this afternoon.
The Science Bites, that's right. So you weren't really icy. I was just trying to be a clever way to introduce you. You're never icy, Mike Metz. So after you listen to Mike Metz and Sam Wormley make science interesting, you can tune in tonight at 8:30 p.m. to find out what songs I match to the message and conversations that's part of the show. Now, as I mentioned at the start, the Donna Lana Kitchen's guest is with the Pesticide Action Network. And if you visit their website, www.panna.org, panna.org, they encourage their visitors to learn about the pesticide problem, take action, and donate, which is all about being involved with the cause that they care about. So this philanthropic passion will be what we talk about on Heart to Heart Messages with my guests Charlie Weber, Tara Brown, and Steve Sapp. And now, thanks to Local Talk, we will talk you with Sia. So she's going to be our surprise guest, which just happened thanks to Local Talk. So let me see if you can guess what song I've selected to match to one of our heart-to-heart conversations about philanthropy for me reading the lyrics of one of tonight's songs. Now, I did tell Sia when I quick emailed her that the dance moves that she saw in Local Talk, I would try to contain myself so that to not chase her away, because she saw my dance moves, and I was like, ooh, she's not going to want to be on the show.
Yeah, and she did comment that she likes to dance, so you've got a little critic there.
I know. She likes music and dancing, so I love it. I'm excited to have her be a guest. Oh, yeah, so now let's go back to you. Let's see if you can guess the lyrics. So it's to all those that embrace the message that change begins from within, these lyrics are dedicated to you. We'll make the world we envision, invent a new way of living. I am the cause that I want to see because I'm a spiritual revolutionary. Now, what's interesting is that Pat Sharbaum quoted Gandhi, I think it was. And so this song actually has a famous quote from Gandhi, which is, you must be the change that you want to see in the world, that's incorporated into these lyrics. So, do you know what song this is, Mike Metz?
Love is a Many Splendored Thing. You know, if we have an infinite number of Local Talks and an infinite number of heart-to-heart messages from Anna Banana Magnuson, I'm going to get it right one time.
Yeah, well, find out if he's ever right if I do put that song in by tuning in tonight at 8:30 p.m. Now, Mike Murphy, what tunes do exterminators get down to?
What tune do exterminators get down to? I don't know. I got nothing.
All right. Smash Mouth, Dead Mouse, and Papa Roach.
Oh. Now, that really bugs me.
That really bugs me. So if you fast forward it's Thursday, will we hear any of those tunes from Smash Mouth, Dead Mouse, or Papa Roach on You Name It this Thursday?
We will not. You know, it's really been, it's going to be another Bob Dylan tribute week. So The Birth of the Bard Part 3 or Mike Runs Out of Ideas. Because there's so much Bob Dylan stuff, I figured I've got to do another week.
Mm-hmm. Well, so tune in on this Thursday on You Name It. And what time is that show?
From 2 to 4.
2 to 4. All right. So, Pat Slarbaum.
Yes?
What is a bee's favorite classical music composer?
What is a blues?
Bee. Like buzz.
A bee?
Oh.
We'll keep it with the bug theme.
I'm thinking Beethoven, but I don't know why.
Rimsky-Korsakov, I'm going with.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which one is it?
Rimsky-Korsakov.
Korsakov?
Nope, you guys are right.
Oh, she's going to say Sting.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if we'll hear any of that on All Things Piano Beyond with Tom Russell this morning. Guess we'll just have to tune in to find out. So I do hope that I put a bug in your ear during this heart-to-heart segment for you to tune in to KHOI 89.1 FM to listen to the Donna Lana Kitchen Show. Woot woot! You name it, this Thursday from 2 to 4. Heart to heart messages, all things piano and science bites for your listening pleasure. Now it is time for me to bugger off. So it's back to you, Mike Metz.
Well, before you do that, thank you, Anna. And don't quite bug out until we're finished with the program, because we rely on you for our
closing,
yeah, our quartet.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media. Live streaming of our broadcast can be found online at khoifm.org.
And this program is produced by Lynn Carey and Ursula Rudenberg and engineered by Mike Murphy. Thank you, Mike. It was a pleasure doing business with you this morning. You heard from Sia Agnihorti a middle school student and youth community leader, Susan Guiasta, communications officer with the City of Ames, City Attorney Mark Lambert, and with Board of Health Chair John Passion. You also heard from Anna Banana Magnuson and Pat Schlerbaum. And I have been your host, Mike Metz.
Please consider becoming a member of this fine community radio station with your financial support. Go to our website at khoifm.org and press the yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member. You can also call 515-292-2878 or drop by the station during daytime business hours at 410 Douglas in the historic Pantorium building.
Anna, please take us out.
Yeah, I'm going to end with CSS, Throw Kindness Around Like Confetti, guys. And our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and Morning Masterpieces at 9 a.m. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. So thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI. And
see you again
on the radio.